Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did the voice of a deceased loved one come through on a mysterious phone call?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like our program and want to help keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them, at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. When you sign up for that, you get access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes of our show, as well as all of the archive, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories ever created. You get all of that. It's only $5 a month, and it is all commercial free. That's what keeps us on the air, and we greatly appreciate your support. Tony and Harper on today's episode of the program.
And we're walking down Main Street, USA.
Harper, as you can tell, is still on the kick of Disney.
Yep.
Because as of the recording of this, we'll be going there very soon. As of the time of this airing, we'll have been back for about a month.
Yeah. But right before we started recording this episode, like right now, not for them, but for us, I'm excited to go to Volcano Bay.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about going to a water park at some point, and the Universal Water Park is what that one is.
Yeah.
Never been there. It looks kind of cool, but it's going to be hot, and we might get there a day or two early, so we may find some extra things to do.
Yep.
You know, maybe we could join like a drug cartel or something for a little while we're in Florida and make a little extra money. What do you say, honey?
Or a cult.
You're right. Scientology is right down there. So we could easily make a little pit stop and cult and drug cartel. What do you say? That would be the adventure of a lifetime.
Do you want... So here's where I'm at. So,
we're a cult. She's 8, by the way, everyone.
Yep, I'm 8. Soon to be 9.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're a cult. Okay. So, yeah, we should totally join a cult.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can get on the path to meet Xenu. Yeah.
Another thing, since if we do get there 2 days early, we'll have 30 days off before we go to Epcot.
So we could get in Universal, the Space Center, and Scientology.
Oh, come on.
All in one. Oh, my gosh.
Now, I was about to say that we can make stops on the way to Disney.
I think we get into Scientology first.
And I think that we do both. Well, I think we do that. We do Disney's, what's the winter themed?
The Blizzard. Blizzard. You'd rather do Blizzard Beach than join Scientology, honey? I mean, come on.
I mean, like,
this is going to help you gather up everything and learn how to be a super
dad
Thetan thing.
The only reason I want to go to Blizzard Beach is so we can join a cult in the dark alley.
They don't have cults at the dark alley there, unless it's something I don't know about.
I know, but like the alley behind Blizzard Beach.
Oh, there's a cult there?
Yeah.
Or maybe that's a new and upcoming one.
Okay.
There's always cults starting in Florida.
I know, but what I'm thinking is we can do Blizzard Beach, Universal Studios, Volcano Bay, and NASA.
Okay. You're right. We should probably do those rather than joining a cult.
You think?
Probably. I'm glad we got this discussion, though. It's something that... every father and their 8-year-old should discuss at some point.
This is great.
Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, "Hey, Tony, Carol, Todd, and Harper. My name is Nina, and I've been listening to your show since 2015. I just love it. I enjoy listening to everyone's stories, and it helps me get through my workday, so thank you for that." I've always loved the paranormal and hearing ghost stories, but I must admit that I don't have many stories of my own to share. I'm not a very sensitive person, I guess. I do, however, have one story to share with you and your listeners. I'd like to start out by saying that I've always favored my dad over my mom. Both parents had their flaws, but I was closest to my dad. Sadly, he passed away in 2017 due to pancreatic cancer. It was heartbreaking to watch this disease take over his body, watching the man I once thought of as the strongest man in the world be bedridden and not be able to even leave his own head. He fought for a couple of months before the cancer made it to his last breath. I stood next to him and held his hand while he let that out. The last air from his lungs, and it about killed me. I could feel something inside me die right along with him. I made sure to look over his face and study every detail because I knew looking at him that would be the last time I would see my dad. As my throat started to close and my eyes started to water, I leaned down, kissed his cheek, and told him goodbye. I set his hand on his stomach and released my hold and just walked out of the room. For the next week, after his death, I couldn't seem to control my emotions. I would be hit with waves of sadness. I'd be driving in my car and hear a song and must pull over to just cry. I'd be playing with my daughter and the sadness would hit me and I would go to the bathroom to cry. About a week later, I didn't have any more tears to cry. I was feeling okay that weekend, so my boyfriend and I decided to go out to breakfast. We went to a small cafe in town and had a nice breakfast. When we got home, we sat on the couch to watch some TV, and we both ended up falling asleep. I had a dream I'll never forget. In my dream, we were back at the cafe, sitting in a booth. The waitress walked up to me and said, "Nina, you have a phone call. I'll show you to the phone." Don't ask me why I would be getting a phone call at the cafe and not on my cell phone, but this is a dream, and some things just don't make sense. I got up with the waitress, picked up the phone. It ended up being my sister. And she was asking me if they had any tables open because her and her kids were going to come for some breakfast. I looked around the cafe and the only people I saw were my boyfriend still sitting in our booth, an older couple sitting to the right of me, and in the far corner sat another man dressed in all camouflage with a cup of coffee, reading a newspaper. There was something so familiar about this man. I told my sister that there was a lot of tables open and she said, "Okay, we'll head there soon." I hung up the phone and looked back towards the man. For some reason, I started walking towards him, and as I got closer, he still had his head down, reading the paper. I couldn't see his face because he had a hat on and his head was down. I walked up and stopped next to his booth, and he looked up at me and stared right into my dad's eyes. I felt like I just got kicked in the gut, and my heart stopped. He then picked up his coffee and said, "It was cold out hunting this morning." I took a sip, bringing my eyes back to his paper. The voice was my dad's, the face was my dad's face, and that was something he would say all the time. He loved hunting and fishing and did all the outdoors things his whole life. In my dream, I just brought my hands to my mouth to try and hold back the sob. This was my dad sitting here at the cafe. As the sob broke through, he just looked back up at me with a weird look on his face. He pretty much said, "What the hell is wrong with you?" He just looked at me like I was a crazy person. I woke up then from my dream and then I opened my eyes and tears came pouring out. I looked at the ceiling with tears falling from my eyes and rolling down the sides of my face. My heart was pounding when I looked over at my sleeping boyfriend. I needed his comfort, so I curled into his body and buried my face in his neck and just cried. He woke up and moved the hair from my face asking, "Baby, what's wrong?" I told him about my dream and he just held me while I cried. I felt bad because I think he was happy that I was doing better that morning. He held me so many times as I cried over my dad's death. I was trying to feel like a burden to him. I owe him so much for being there for me in the hardest time of my life. I know this was a visitation from my dad, but I have some questions and I hope you guys can help me out. Do you think there was a message that came along with this visitation? Or do you think he was looking at me like a crazy person because he was confused, like he didn't know why I was crying because he didn't know he was deceased? Thanks for everything you do. It's nice to have a place to write and call in with stories. We know you guys won't judge us, and it's a great feeling. Nina from Wisconsin.
Okay, so when he said that there's no more tears left to cry, that kind of reminds me of a song written by a song artist, Ariana Grande.
Okay. Or Mary J. Blige. "No, I'm not gonna cry, I'm not gonna cry, I'm not gonna shed no tears."
No.
From the Waiting to Exhale soundtrack.
No. It goes, I can't remember the lyrics.
Everyone, you almost had a second singer on the show for 1 second. Congratulations. You're the first person to be the second singer
on the show. Okay, okay,
okay. Only luckily it would be you.
Hang on. I got no more tears left to cry. I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
Something like that? Okay.
Something like that.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
I got no more tears left to cry.
But what do you think about the dad looking at her like she's crazy? I get like this is something he would say and something that, you know, kind of on his mind, but the kind of weird look at you like you're crazy thing.
I just say, why are you looking at me like that?
I think if I was dead and visiting you in a dream, I wouldn't be saying like the same things I said over and over, be like, hey, I'm dead. It's kind of cool over here. I'll see you when you're dead.
How's the food?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would like deliver a message. I wouldn't be like, just like, it was cold hunting this morning. Like, you know, like how I always like, good morning, honey. I think I'd be like, good morning, honey. I'm dead. You already know that though. But hi.
How's the food?
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. We'd be digging more. I think this shit catches people off guard so much that they don't know exactly what to say or how to say it to each other. So they're like revert to just what they know. And not to say that it wouldn't be that startling for us, but I think it would be interesting because I think you and me would actually kind of be like, have our questions ready.
I know that you would like haunt somebody. I know that you would haunt the crap out of somebody.
You. Yes. You.
You and me.
Yes. Well, yes. But if I go before you, I mean, I am haunting you until you're gone. You just get me. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I won't do anything to scare you. I mean, I'll just hang out, maybe help out sometimes, you know, turn on the dishwasher if you forget, something like that. If your kids get out of line, scare the crap out of them, you know?
What do you mean by that?
Scare the crap out of them.
No, but like, how would they get out of line?
I don't know. If they're just acting up and you're just having a day and you're like, oh, I just need some time. And they're still acting up and they're by your door knocking, mom, mom, mom. Suddenly, if I just appear as a dark shadow coming down the hall slowly towards them with giant teeth, they may move away from your door.
With giant teeth, like...
Yeah. And then they're like, oh my God! And I'm like, just kidding. I'm your grandpa.
I would love it if you, like, appear as, like, a standing goat.
You want me to come in and haunt your children as a goat man?
Yes.
It's like straight up, like, demonic type things.
I know.
That wouldn't mess your kids up or anything.
Just come as a giant goat man with antlers like a deer. A human, like a raccoon's face, giant teeth, and like some sort of, and like black eyes.
Well, I tell you what, if that ever happens, your kids can reference this episode and go, oh, it's just grandpa.
It's just grandpa messing around.
That's all. Mom told them to do it back in 2021.
Just be a giant goat man.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there you go. Could happen. Could happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Let's go over to another call. Let's hear your story. Hi.
Hi, Tony and everyone, the gang. My name is Charlene. I just became an EPP. Live in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Just relocated back here. My family's here. Been gone a long time, but I just wanted to say that I love listening to you do your fun banter about the area and growing up here, being a teenager, working at the radio station, because I lived in Ripon, and I grew up there, so I love listening to the stories, and it brings back a lot of memories. And your show is just awesome. I've been listening to your podcast for several years, just on podcast websites. I'm really excited about being an EPP and checking all the old content. I love the stories and the genuine ability for people to be able to tell their own tales. It's wonderful that, you know, they can say that and get validated, and it's just a great time. listening to you guys. And I do that at work every day, and it certainly helps me to just keep my mind engaged. The work I do is physical, but it can be a bit long and drug out without something to entertain the mind. So thank you for that. I am calling. I do have a lot of past experiences, a lot of weird things that I will be calling from time to time to share. The story I was going to give you today is from when I was a teenager, 15 or 16 years old. Right after, well, a couple of years after we relocated from here in Wisconsin, we had to move to Colorado for my father's health. He had cancer that he was fighting, and he needed a different, atmosphere. He needed the air, the clean air. It was better at that time, and we moved to Colorado Springs. And there we rented a home in our neighborhood, and it was a split level. So, when you go in the front door, you have a landing, and you have one set of stairs on the right that goes up to the upper level. And it was an open concept for the most part. The stairway, if you stood at the base, you could look right into the kitchen and to the patio door in the backyard. And to the direct right, it was a wrought iron rail and the living room. So, and then from the landing in the other direction on the left, you had a stairwell that went down to the basement where we had a family room, two bedrooms, a bathroom, and laundry room. The upper level, it was the kitchen, the living room, my parents' room, my brother, and the bathroom. So, I was a night hawk. As a teenager, I liked to stay up late, and I would listen to old radio programs and stuff. I never did like going to sleep right away in that room, and there was reasons for it. Something else I will share in the future. So I had trouble sleeping sometimes, and I would just stay up late. And on this particular night, it was about 11:30, and I was in my room, and I heard, footsteps upstairs going through the living room and into the kitchen. I had a baby brother. He was the last of us that was born, and he was only a couple months old. And I thought maybe my mom had gone into the kitchen to make a bottle for him. And I figured since I was up, I'd go up and talk to her and say hi for a minute, even though I knew if she was awake that I'd get in trouble for being up so late. But I figured, what the heck. So I went on, up to the stairs, through the family room and up to the stairs, got up to the landing, and decided, just to keep it quiet, that I would go my hands and knees up the stairs. I don't know why. I have no idea. Maybe those stairs creaked more. It's been a while. So I was about three steps up, and I felt this really strong brush of air in front of my face. And I could feel it. It was noticeably a big brush of air that went past my face. And a few seconds later, a big boom on the wall beside my face. Like something just swooshed in front of me and hit the wall. As if to say, you will go no further. I was a little shocked. It was very quiet in the house. Other than that, so the sound just, it was booming in my ears. I was like, what is this? And there was nothing there. Part of that, when I had started coming up the stairs after the landing, I had called out to my stepmom and she didn't respond. And I just thought maybe she didn't hear me. So I was proceeding, but that stopped me in my tracks, and I could hear the dishes rolling around in the kitchen. She never did respond. And I called out, and since it was so quiet, I thought for sure she would have heard me. She never did. And when that happened, it scared me so much that I didn't go any further. I was just stunned. And I was just looking at the air in front of me like, who are you and what are you doing? And why did I stop? I didn't go any further. That brush of air just scared me because it was like something made that air move. And I kept thinking, if it had hit me, how that would have felt or what would have happened. So I just shrugged. I looked at the air in front of me and shrugged, like, whatever, fine. And I went back into my room very quickly, retreated back downstairs. I was hearing sounds for a while, getting help with the sleeplessness. And I did ask her the next morning if she had gotten up at that time to make a bottle, and she said she had not. So I don't know what was in the kitchen that night, but something didn't want me there, and it scared the heck out of me. There are a lot more to tell you, a lot more stories, and I will be sharing those. That house, there was just a lot of things that happened.
There you go.
Yep.
Very interesting to wonder who made that that bottle, you know, for the child. It was, it was some of a difficult one to understand, but I did want to hear her story. I thought it was enough where we could make out what was going on. Plus, I thought it was interesting. She was from Wisconsin and like right by where I grew up too.
Yeah.
So she said she grew up near Ripon, Wisconsin, which is a town that I've talked about on the show before. There's a lot of kind of cool, interesting stuff there. My original radio station was right in the outside of that town. I've talked about Radio Road. So she probably knows many of the places that I've talked about. Been to many times hanging out in downtown Ripon. There's a cool little pizza place that was on the end there. It's gone. You've been to Ripon too. There's little neat little shops down. We've gone there for like breakfast sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, when we've been visiting. It's usually really cold in winter, and you probably want to block those memories out because of just how cold they were.
Yeah.
But it's a cute little town, and it's warm. It's nice. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, let's go to this caller and hear your real ghost story. Hi.
Hi, from Stephen Vincent Lopez. I'm calling out of Dallas, Texas. Not an ETP member yet, but after hearing this one story from a lady named Terry, who had an episode of sleep paralysis, I thought I'd call in. I frequently have sleep paralysis, so when I kind of know it's going to come on, I don't know how I know, but sometimes I kind of know because I'll be too tired and I won't go to sleep. And when I finally do go to sleep, I know it's going to come on. It's usually the first symptom of sleep paralysis is being really tired. And so your body shuts off, but your brain continues working. Well, just last night, I was trying to go to bed. I already knew it might happen, but I was just too tired to even turn on my phone, because usually I'll turn on my phone and put Christian music on so that it might avoid sleep paralysis. If not, I can be listening to it in the background as I'm having sleep paralysis, in which case I won't be scared. So unfortunately, I didn't do it this time around, and so, of course, sleep paralysis happened. And when it happened, I felt this dark presence right over my shoulder, and usually I'll feel these horrible chills. Like, if you think of chills while you're awake, it's nothing like that when you're asleep and having sleep paralysis. It's like these chills just come over you like cold water. And I thought I looked over and it looked, I don't know how I knew, but it felt like a female spirit. Dark presence. And then I kind of sort of, you know, chuckled, because that's my way of kind of dealing with it, is kind of I confront it, you know. I'll open my eyes in the sleep paralysis and look over. I can actually move my neck. I have all my motor skills besides my body. I can't move my hands. I'll be able to wiggle my toes and move my legs a little. And that's how I'll come out of it. But it's not that easy. You got to use a lot of your energy to do so. And when I saw this female spirit, I kind of chuckled, like, ha ha, you know, you don't scare me. And as soon as I said that, I felt this stabbing pain on the right, my left hand shoulder. Then I tried to come out of sleep paralysis by moving my head back and forth. And so I came out of it, but I was really tired. So it's like, if you even give it 1 second after you wake up and go back to sleep, it's going to happen again. And so it happened again because I was just, it takes a lot of energy to stay up. It really does. It doesn't matter how much you try, you will go back to sleep if you allow yourself to. And of course, you'll go back into sleep paralysis. And so I did. And this time, this other presence, it looked like a small gargoyle looking type spirit. And when I opened my eyes, it was looking at me, and this evil smile on its face, just laughing at me. And so I laughed at it back. And, you know, deep down inside, I'm scared. But, I mean, that's my way of coping with the situation. And when I laughed at it, it got mad at me and started attacking me. The way it felt was just like Terry described it, where you feel this this shock going through your body. And so I allowed my feet to, I don't know how to explain this, but I had my feet up on this thing and I allowed them to drop. Because again, I can move. I have some of my motor skills. And so I allowed my feet to fall off this thing they were on so that I could wake up. And immediately I wake up, and this time I wasn't even given no more chances. I put on some Christian music and bam, it was over. I went right to sleep and it was like never happened. Well, like I said, I have dozens of stories regarding sleep paralysis because it's like almost every night since I am a trucker. I'm always sort of tired. And so when I do finally go to sleep, the only thing that does go to sleep is my body, and my brain tends to stay up for a little bit. But when I listen to Christian music, it usually doesn't happen. And if it does, I'm not usually scared of it. But yeah, that's my story. If you want to hear more, let me know. I have dozens upon dozens of sleep paralysis stories. I could literally be a case subject if someone wanted to study me, because I literally have it all the time. I have to pray. If I don't pray, it usually happens. And if I'm tired, I just don't do it. You know, it's very bad of me not to pray before I go to sleep, because I know it's going to happen. And usually when I do pray, it doesn't. So, I mean, I just got to do a better job at praying and reading my Bible. But I will. I promise I will.
I blame the Christian rock. I think the Christian rock is giving him sleep paralysis on a regular basis.
Here's a piece of advice. don't leave rocks beside your bed, especially arrowheads, and also don't laugh at a ghost because it might attack you.
So you think having those objects near him and the kind of taunting of the spirits is what's kind of causing some of these things?
You brought up the rock. I'm just agreeing with you.
No, I'm not talking about rock. I'm talking about Christian rock. I'm not talking about rocks. I'm talking about the music format. Christian rock, where people sing Christian songs to, like, rock music. Where it's like, Jesus, oh, yeah. Like, that sort of music. Like, Christian rock.
Oh, that type of music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You thought something about actual, like, rocks? Like, Indian, like...
I thought you were actually, like, talking about, like, a stone.
No. I'm talking about the musical format called Christian rock.
Oh, yeah, that...
Which I... You know, to each their own. If you love it, I guess more power to you. I can't stomach it. And I just, I've tried. I thought, oh, it's positive. It's like, no, I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I just don't see the point of mixing these two completely different mm-hmm. types of music together. Because there's Christian and then there's rock. Mix them together, it's just not good.
Well, some people like it, you know. But, you know, my personal preference, it's my least favorite format of music. Quite honestly.
Yeah.
I start to feel like a burning sensation inside when I hear it. I start to sweat profusely and the number 666 appears in my forehead and I just have to get out of the room. I don't
Whenever
know.
I see it, I see Goat Man.
We're just naturally, you know, sometimes you start spraying holy water on us and it sizzles and we growl. Our eyes turn kind of red. I don't know. I think it might be a...
Really? Yours turned red, mine turned black.
So, you know, it might be something that kind of is passed down from generation to generation that we cannot stand Christian rock music. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe it's something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. The more you know. Let's wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person in EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and our archive of episodes. And we do greatly appreciate it. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.